My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Brent and Danny here on the Fan, no GP. Just me, Danny Ruye, with you for another 90 minutes or so before we retire for the evening. I want to remind you that as the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and you got to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you to score yourself a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We jump now to the guest hotline. Talk to Matt Bonesteel of the Washington Post, who's been chronicling a story that I don't think has gotten quite enough attention, if I may editorialize. Matt, good afternoon, man. Thanks for the time.
Sure.
Really appreciate you joining us. So, Catch folks up on what happened. FanDuel went out. Now they're back. Walk us through the saga for folks that may have missed it.
Well, if you're in D.C. and you went to bet something on FanDuel, say on Tuesday morning, you got a message from FanDuel right at the front of the app saying they were pausing their operations in D.C. They didn't really give a reason. They said they hoped to be back soon. We tried to get in touch with a bunch of people, with FanDuel and people at the D.C. Lottery who were then sort of running FanDuel, that thing in D.C. And it had to do with the new gambling provisions that were passed in the D.C. budget. The thing is that the mayor had yet to sign the budget, so it really wasn't official. And then FanDuel's agreement with the city, their old agreement with the city, expired on Monday. So they were not legally allowed to take bets, nor was anyone else online yesterday. So everything went dark for a day, and it was all because the mayor hadn't signed the budget. And she ended up not signing the budget, but sending it back to the council, which is, was really a symbolic gesture. It's basically she signed it without signing it, in other words. So FanDuel came back about 9:30 this morning, I think, and then a few more books joined them this afternoon.
Matt, so I am by no means a gambling expert. I am by no means somebody that has chronicled the ups and downs in every city across the country. So I don't know if a similar thing played out in Cleveland or Portland or somewhere else. I do know this. In Washington, D.C., I'm no longer a resident, but I was for decades. They projected $84 million in revenue. They got four. I can't imagine anything like that. And somehow that's what happened with their previous relationship. So I'd love for you to go into that, please.
Yeah, the first stab at gambling in D.C. D.C. tried to be a pretty early adopter after the Supreme Court legalized it. They had to rush it, but then they rushed it using a really, fast-backwards process where, it was a single bid and it went to a bunch of people who had ties to the city. And they started a thing called Gambet, which was a disaster right off the bat. I mean, it was wonky, it was crashy, it was buggy, and the odds were terrible. So you know, that never really caught on with people who wanted to bet in D.C. And, you know, over the, I mean, there was months where I lost money, which is, you know, I can't stress enough, almost impossible for a gambling and a gambling company to do is lose money. And they somehow did it. So after a while, the city saw that it wasn't working and that it wasn't bringing in any money. And they finally decided we're going to ditch Gambet. We'll subcontract it out to FanDuel for the rest of the initial deal, and then we'll figure it out. You know, moving forward, we'll open up to more people, which they're finally starting to do.
So what is the current landscape now as it stands, right? I know that we're right down the street from Nats Park, and I can go to a BetMGM, but I don't know what I can do mobily. It's still a little bit confusing. It's like, if I may, it's like some of the marijuana laws where I'm like, you can give me a picture and I can buy that, but I can't buy it. But if I'm standing next to the Smithsonian, that doesn't work anymore. Like, not that I do, but like stuff that I just don't understand.
Yeah, today's really the first big day of like the new era of legal gambling in D.C. where you have FanDuel's back. They've been here for a few months, and you know they brought in a lot of money. But now there are going to be six more licenses awarded by the city, and two of them are already up and running. You have BetMGM, which before, you know, you could only bet on your phone with that app, you know, if you're near Nats Park. And now you can bet pretty much anywhere in the city unless you're on federal property. And also Caesars has started, which was the sports book in Capital One Arena. Again, just like BetMGM, you could only bet on your phone if you were like in the arena or around it. But now you can use that app anywhere in the city as well. So now we're starting to see more options for gamblers, which is, you know, the way it's done, you know, it's been done everywhere else in the United States. For some reason, D.C. tried to do this really ridiculous process that really limited the options of everyone, and it didn't work. And I think finally enough, you know, calmer heads prevailed and saw that, you know, it doesn't have to be this difficult. We can make more money just letting in established companies, and then we'll you know, it'll take off, hopefully.
Matt Bones, still Washington Post with us here on G&D. So how did they end up with this whole Intralot, Gambet, D.C. thing that was just a disaster from the start? How did they end up there?
It's just, you know, Intralot came in. Intralot runs the city's lottery and continues to do so. And, you know, that they made all these excuses. It was really only bid out to Intralot. So there was, you know, it didn't really seem on the level to begin with. But Intralot's a Greek company, and you know, they did not have much experience in the sports gambling realm. It was all lottery. They run lotteries all over the place. So, you know, they got this contract and they sort of put together this app from scratch. And, it, you know, you could tell that there weren't a lot of experienced sports betting people working on it because it was so bad. It just didn't work. I mean, it was a disaster. You know, the first Super Bowl, I think it crashed.
Yep,
you know, in the first quarter, which, you know, that's Christmas Day for gambling. So, you know, the people in a lot of people in the Super Bowl, these are people who only bet on the Super Bowl or bet for the first time on the Super Bowl. So they went to this app in D.C. and saw it wasn't working or had terrible odds. And it's like, you know what, I'm not going to bet in D.C. I'm not going to do it anymore. So it was just a disaster. But then, you know, as months and months went by and less money was coming in, they finally figured it out that, you know, other states just open it up to these established companies like FanDuel who know what they're doing. They have all their regulations in place. They have all the controls in place, you know, the geolocating and all that stuff. So hopefully moving forward, it's going to be a better situation. It looks like it. You know, we've got three today and yesterday we had zero.
Yeah.
So, you know, big improvement.
So Matt, and this, you know, maybe a little bit of an editorial here, but just what's your opinion on this? Cause you're so close to it. Do you know, or do you feel like, I don't want to say, is it too late? Because as you said, people are going to want to, you know, throw a couple bucks down on a parlay here or there. But starting the way that gambling did in D.C., do you think it'll be as big as it could have been had they got it right from the outset?
I mean, there's probably no way to tell that. Probably not. I mean, D.C. is also hemmed in by two states that have had gambling, you know, for years now too, and have had multiple options for years now too. So, you know, say Virginia was right after D.C. and then opened it up to a lot of people pretty quick. And the same with Maryland, it took a little more time, but they were right in there too. So, you know, it's good. You know, people in D.C., you know, I live you know, I could be across the Maryland border in 10 minutes from my house. So, you know, it's easy for me. It was easy for me to, if I really needed to make a bet, to go, you know, drive three blocks to go make a bet. But now I don't have to. I can bet right. my house. And I think a lot of people will see that. You know, you had stories of people going to D.C. and, like, driving out to Home Depot parking lots in Virginia to make bets, you know, or just making bets when they're at their kids' basketball games in the suburbs. So, so I think the fact that they don't have to do that now, I think it will be enticement. You know, it's all going to depend on, there's going to be a lot of marketing. You're going to see a lot of bus ads, maybe a lot of radio ads, TV ads, trying to get people more involved with it. And, you know, it'll make money because these companies always do.
Sure,
and, you know, depending on how hard they go after this market, which I think is a pretty big market. If you go down to any of the books in the stadium, they're always in pretty good, you know, pretty crowded, you know, people with the kiosks there. So yeah, I think it's going to be successful for the companies and probably going to bring in some money to the city. I mean, you know, D.C. is not the biggest place in the world, so it's not going to be like the smashing success. But, you know, I think it's hard to go wrong with sports gambling if you're a sports gambling company, unless you're gambling and you lose money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be better than an $80 million shortfall, probably.
Right.
Matt, that really good reporting, man. Really appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
There he goes. That's Matt Bonesteel of The Post. I was fascinated by that. Again, you know, I could have lived to have been 1,000, and I wouldn't have cared much about, you know, sort of the goings-on of local politics, you know, like elected folks. But you guys remember what happened, the whole 2020 deal, et cetera. So all of a sudden, people are actually making decisions that affect me. So I was paying way more attention than I would have normally when this entire Gambit DC thing came about. And it's the most, to Matt's point, it was the most DC thing ever, where the only people that could take this golden goose, cut its head off and paint it green, was DC. And they did it in spectacular fashion. This, like, shady, again, I don't want to, allegedly, I don't, whatever I'm supposed to say so that no one gets mad, but you heard him say there were no bids. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm thinking about having somebody do, like, some hedge trimming and, like, a couple trees that need to get removed from near my garage because they're probably going to die soon and fall from the garage. I contacted 3 different providers. Little old me. Little old Fannie Mouye. Little pudgy-faced Randy Duye. Little mid-40s suburban awkward guy. Right? I contacted 3 different people to come give me an estimate. They're trying to do something for tens of millions of dollars, and they're like, we already know. These guys who've never done it before, they'll do it. I don't know, dude. Anyway, so it sounds like it's going to get better. Total gear shift. We'll talk about this super quick. Have you seen an update to this, by the way, guys? Caleb Williams signed his rookie deal, or he's going to sign it, or he might sign it, or he's about to sign it. I actually don't know if he signed it or not, because I saw the report that it's about to happen. Then I saw Pro Football Talks Mike Florio saying, well, maybe he hasn't yet. Despite all the reporting that he has, maybe he hasn't. What do we know?
So Schefter did tweet out that Caleb Williams has officially signed his rookie contract.
So it has happened. Okay, yep. There we go. So the point was, that wasn't even the point of the quick discussion I wanted to have. The point was, the report here from Florio was, remember, Caleb Williams did not hire an agent. He's got advisors, which is smart. Not having an agent for your rookie deal, I actually don't think is crazy. I know we criticized, and I still stand by it, by the way. I think guys that are going through franchise tag stuff, free agency, I think that's pretty important to have an agent. These rookie deals are pretty slotted. You're 1-1, that's it. The deal's done already, pretty much. But he had an advisor. So somebody from his team, or either him or somebody else, was arguing this on his behalf. But whatever, that's a digression. Basically asking Chicago, or telling him, hey, we're not signing unless you agree to not ever use the franchise tag on Caleb. And the Bears, of course, because the way everything is written, we're like, nah. What you got anything else? Either play for us or don't, dude. Right? And you're kind of screwed now. You got to play for us. So come play for us. We might use it. We might not. That's down the line. Hopefully we don't get there. But, you know, whatever, we could. So the discussion I wanted to have, I don't fault Caleb Williams for this at all, by the way. Ask away. Now, if you start throwing a temper tantrum, you don't sign something, you become a distraction, you start posting and tweeting and TikToking every day that they're treating you wrong or you're, you know, a victim of something, then I'll have an issue. I got no problem asking for stuff in negotiations for contracts. I got no issue with you trying to get to free agency sooner, with you trying to get long-term deals. You're going to get paid. If you play football at a decent level, see Lawrence, Trevor, as the number one overall pick, you will get the benefit of the doubt, and you'll get the richest contract in NFL history in probably three calendar years from right now. Think about that. As the cap goes up, and it will, maybe not as skyrockety as it's been over the last couple of years, but the cap's going up, you'll be eligible for that extension after year three. You're going to get the most money anyone has ever gotten if you play decent football. That's where we are. Tua's about to get paid. Dak's about to get paid. Trevor Lawrence already got paid. Again, one good report card turned in by Trevor Lawrence. One. And he's about to get, and he's gotten an insane amount of money. You're going to supersede everybody. So I understand not wanting that. The thought I had was, I wonder if somebody's going to get that. Somewhere down the line, I wonder if that's going to happen. Somebody's going to be able to have enough leverage to negotiate in a certain way. The rules of the NCAA are going to be in such a way. I wonder if somebody, before they walk in, can do what guys used to be able to do. Rookie quarterbacks used to hold out, and you know, you'd find Matt Stafford, as a rookie, was making more than Peyton Manning or making more than Tom Brady or whatever. And that really pissed the guys in the league off, so they changed it all up, and now we have the structure we have now. But it was interesting to me, that's all. And people have taken it as an opportunity to criticize Caleb Williams. Not me, not this time. He does plenty of stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know what you're doing. You're Gen Z. I don't get it. I'm just over here with my beer. What am I supposed to do? Like, are you mad at me? Are you not? Like, can I watch football still? Like, I don't know what you're doing. Fine, but I don't get it. This is not one of them. I have no issue with him asking for something like that. Just thought it was an interesting little point there. Speaking of interesting, I want you to win Fuji's tickets, okay? Call 800-636-1067. We are going to play Does Ryan Know It? Darius and I have come up with a bunch of questions. We're going to ask them. It's not about whether you know it or not. It's about whether Ryan knows it. If you get two right, you're going to win Fuji's tickets. Make sense? Call us now, 800-636-1067. If you want to play, Does Ryan Know It for tickets.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here on Grant and Danny. Welcome back. You get two of these right, you'll win tickets to see Miss Lauryn Hill and the Fugees. The celebration continues with special guest YG Marley. Friday, August 23rd at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. We've concocted a little game. It's called Does Ryan Know It? Here on Grant and Danny. No GP, just me, Danny Ruye, with you. I'm feeling very benevolent. I'm feeling in a giving mood today, this day, by day by day. I'm going to give you two pair. Two different pair of tickets. I'm going to have two winners this segment. That's what we're going to do. We're going to give you two winners this segment. Here's how it's going to work. I'll call on you. You'll hear the question, and you bet. Does Ryan know it or not? You get two right, you win. I don't care if you know the answer to the question. We care if Ryan knows the answer to the question. Ryan, are you ready to play, sir?
I am ready. I'm feeling very smart right now, I must say.
He actually has this very suave, sophisticated, smart air to him today. I don't know what it is, but he's giving off I know it vibes.
It's very Glenn Powell.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Let's play the game. First contestant up, Aaron in Chantilly. Aaron, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. You understand how the game is played?
I do.
Very good. I'm going to ask Ryan the first question. You're going to bet on whether or not he knows it. You get two right, you're going to see the Fugees. The first question, and does Ryan know it? Who was the first person to walk on the moon? Does Ryan know the answer to who was the first person to walk on the moon?
I tried playing this game a couple of years ago, and he let me down. I'm hoping it's not going to happen twice. I'm going to bet on him.
You're betting on Ryan. Ryan, who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Is it Neil Armstrong?
It is. Look at this. Look at this, Aaron. Mm. One more, and are winner, winner, chicken dinner. Ryan, the question for you is, who wrote The Great Gatsby? Who wrote the book The Great Gatsby? Everyone had to read it in high school. Everyone had to read it in high school. Aaron, does Ryan know who wrote The Great Gatsby?
I'm going to hope he doesn't.
You're saying that he doesn't. Ryan, who wrote The Great Gatsby?
Oh, this is tough.
Is it?
It is tough. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
I definitely lied about reading the book.
Yeah.
Therefore, I do not know who wrote The Great Gatsby.
Aaron, it's that easy, my friend. Let's put Aaron on hold. He's going to see the Fugees. That's how we do it. F. Scott Fitzgerald, dude.
I definitely lied about reading that book. I remember I watched the Leonardo DiCaprio movie and probably flunked that test as well. But that was my game plan back in the day.
One contestant, one winner. That's how we do it. I got one more pair of tickets to give away. Cynthia in Rockville, you're next up. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Do you understand how the game is played?
Yes, sir, I do.
Very good. So, I'm going to ask Ryan the following question. Does he know two states that border Colorado? Two states that border Colorado. Does Ryan know that answer to that question?
I'm going to say yes.
Ryan, so. Cynthia's betting on you. Give me two states that border Colorado.
We are going to go with Nebraska and New Mexico.
That is correct. Look at that. Cynthia, one more, and you are the winner. What, this is a little too easy. Ryan's getting all these right. Very well. Cynthia, does Ryan know who the current Secretary of State is? Who is the Secretary of State? Does Ryan know that?
I'm going to say no.
He's been in the news a lot lately.
I know, but...
But not maybe not Ryan's news. Ryan, who's the current Secretary of State?
Oh, I've got a name in mind.
Yeah.
I've got a name in mind here.
Yeah.
Is it Fox 5 legend Kevin McCarthy?
Cynthia, you're going to see the Fugees. That's pretty great. Looking for Anthony Blinken there, sir.
Yeah.
Cynthia's also a winner. All right. Well, that was easy. We gave away tickets.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. You're nailing these. Well, you aren't. But,
no.
Like, you know, you got a couple right. All right. So Cynthia's a winner. So now what we're going to do is play for absolutely nothing. Hope everyone's comfortable with that. Is it Jock in Woodbridge?
Right,
hey, Bob. So, with apologies, we have winners our first two calls. Do you want to play for absolutely nothing?
Of course.
We're going to play for absolutely nothing. Your first question here, Jacques. I'm going to go with the following. Within 10 of the actual number, how many total electoral votes are there? Within 10... How many total electoral votes are there? Do you think Ryan knows the answer to that?
All right, this is not to win the presidency. This is just total electoral votes, right?
That is right. The total available to be had among the two guys.
No, he has no clue.
He doesn't know.
Sorry, Cleary.
It's all right.
No, it's all right.
Ryan, how many total electoral votes are there up for grabs?
I'm going to say 252.
Jock, you were absolutely right.
Yep.
It was less than half of the actual number that he just guessed. One more and you win absolutely nothing. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
What are the directions on a boat? What are the directions on a boat? If you're on a boat, you don't just say left and right and forward and back. You say different words. Does he know those words?
I'm going to go with no. He might be able to get two, but he won't be able to get all four.
Very well. Ryan, what are the directions on a boat?
I'm going to say northeast, south, and west.
Jock, you were correct about that. You would have won. Thanks for playing.
Wait, what were the directions there?
Port, starboard, aft, stern, the directions on a boat, buddy.
I'm sure.
You should be. They've been doing this a lot longer than you've been around.
I'm sure.
They sailed around the world with port, starboard, stern, and aft, bro.
I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean, the one movie that I've seen with the boat, they did not do that. I can tell you that. Life of Pi did not do that.
The Pirates of the Caribbean, that's the one with the undead people coming back to life?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Bow, stern, port, starboard. Nothing on that?
Nothing.
There you go. That's why we play. Does Ryan know it? Edwin, Silver Spring, would you like to play for absolutely nothing?
Yes.
Since
he only knows the softball question, yeah.
Let's do this together. Does Ryan know the following? Who said the famous quote, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? Who said the famous quote, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? Does Ryan know it?
He has to. Yes.
Edwin, you would think he has to. Let's see. Ryan, who said it?
History guy.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
He got it. Look at this. That's why we do it. This is why we do it. This is why we do it.
All right,
Edwin, this is for absolutely nothing, keep in mind. This is for nothing.
Let's do it.
Does he know who sings the song, Pour Some Sugar on Me? Pour Some Sugar on Me. Does he know the artist? Does he know the band who sings, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
He does that, yeah.
Ryan, who sings Pour Some Sugar on Me?
This is tough. I'm going to take a guess here. Is this Whitney Houston?
Edwin, that was pretty easy. Well done. Fish in a barrel right there.
Was it the Fugees?
The classic hair metal song from the mid-80s by Whitney Houston / the Fugees. Pour Some Sugar on Me. We love them. We love them around here. Just the best. All right, let's go to John in Herndon. John, would you like to play for absolutely nothing, just for the thrill of competition?
Absolutely. I love thrills.
Well, let's get your thrill right here. John, the question for Ryan is going to be the following. What is the capital of Maryland? Does Ryan know the capital of Maryland?
Oh, my God. Yes, he knows.
Ryan, what's the capital of Maryland?
Dude, are you sure about this? Are you sure?
Oh, gosh, really?
Oh, come on. I know this. Annapolis.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, see, because
you throw them easy in there, and sometimes you don't know if he knows it or not. You don't know.
That's right.
Let's see. John, does he know the following? Again, this is for absolutely nothing. I'm going to ask Ryan to name four people who have been cast members of Saturday Night Live. Four cast members of Saturday Night Live in the history of the show. Can he name four people?
You know, he's got to be able to pull four out of the thousands plus.
There have been dozens.
Yes, he knows.
There have been dozens. Ryan, give me four cast members of SNL.
All right, I know one, Pete Davidson. Right?
That's one. That's probably the first one I would go with.
Yep. Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter. Who's the guy that I love? Makes so many good movies. Boston, the Hubie's Halloween, his best movie ever.
John, you can't help him.
It's, oh my gosh. I know Will Ferrell was in it as well.
There's
that's number two.
Yep.
Why am I blanking on his name?
You got 10 seconds.
Shane Gillis. Seconds.
Shane Gillis does not count. Never appeared in an episode.
But, okay.
But he was a host.
He was a host.
He got fired before he appeared.
Oh my gosh.
Five.
Four. Oh my gosh. I love his movies.
Three.
Oh my gosh. I love his movies.
Two.
Boston guy. Hubie's Halloween.
One.
I forgot his name.
Oh my God.
I know, John. I know. Thank you, buddy.
What was his name? You know who I'm thinking of.
I tell you what, we're not going to break it till you think of his name.
I love his movies so much.
He's almost a billionaire.
I know he is. I love his movies. He wears the saggy pants. I've watched all of his movies. He's one of my favorite actors ever, but I'm just blanking.
Clearly one of your favorite guys ever.
Happy Gilmore.
Grown-Ups, two of the two best movies.
Uncut Gems.
Halloween. Uncut Gems, mid. What else? Oh my gosh, I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah. Adam Schefter.
Adam
Schefter.
What
is SNL.
I got so mad.
This is my opening monologue from SNL. Hi, guys. Sources are telling me this would be terrible TV.
Adam.
Adam what?
Oh, my God.
We got to go to break, dude. Adam what?
I know what we do. I'm just sitting here.
Billionaire. Hey, whoop-a-dee-doo.
I know. He's so silly. I love him. I love him.
Yeah.
Adam. Oh, my gosh.
Adam.
I'm having the brain fart. The biggest brain fart of my life right
now. Tell your friend Veronica.
No, I know who it is.
What do you find at a beach?
Sand. It's Adam Sandler. Oh, my gosh.
We'll be right back here on Grant and Danny. Overall, pretty successful round of Does Ryan Know It? I will tell you, really impressed. The first two callers won the prize. Like, and it wasn't just yes, he knew both, or yes, he knew one, didn't know the other. Like, they figured it out real quick and got it. Pretty impressive. I thought we had a couple good 50-50 type questions where people wouldn't be sure. Nope. Everybody got everything. Want to get to this story. right quick. And maybe even take some phone calls on this, because I know we have one person in-house here who is just totally against this. Rob Manfred, basically floating the trial balloon here, saying that they're going to try out not just the challenge system that's kind of going through major league, the minor leagues, rather, where we keep the pace of play going, we keep the game going, borderline pitch below the zone, hitter taps his helmet, they look at it, either, you know, it's a strike or he's out and there's a consequence, etc. Instead of just that system, this is a full-fledged, this is a tweet from MLB on Fox. Major League Baseball will test robot umpires as part of challenge system in spring training next year, which could lead to regular season use in 2026, Rob Manfred has said. So the way I read that is the robot umps are only challenge system at this point. Is that how you guys are viewing that, by the way? That it's only for the they're there as a safe check. We're not going to call, you know, the borderline pitch that's, you know, where the catcher frames it up that maybe a millimeter between ball and actual strike zone. That one's going to live and be fine unless someone challenges it directly. So it's not an automatic thing. It's only with the challenge system?
That's the way that I'm reading it, yeah.
Okay. Wanted to make sure that I had that right. So I think, and you could tell me I'm full of it, I don't think this is where it stops. I think that next step is that ABS, whatever the acronym stands for, is going to fully take over home plate calls, strike calls. I started the show today talking about the All-Star game hours ago. You missed any of it, get the old Odyssey app, rewind function, the whole nine yards, get the podcast, anywhere you happen to be. Emmanuel Clase throws cutters that move like sliders over 100 miles an hour. When this game was invented, 40-some years ago, nobody envisioned this. Nobody saw this coming. How could they have? How could anybody in the late 1800s, where the life expectancy is like 38 years old, and you saw a steam engine for the first time and fainted, how could anybody then be like, yeah, man, 137 years from now, they're going to have a guy that throws 102 miles an hour and it moves left to right and down like a slider? What's a slider? And don't worry about that. That'll buckle your knees too when you try to hit. Nobody could have predicted it. So the antiquated governors for the sport have never really been updated until recently, where you have some of the replay. And I would tweak the replay system tomorrow. One of the things that I would do, for example, there's no get on the phone. There's no hold my hand up. There's no 30 seconds where we're all just sitting there doing nothing. You got to look at the play as the manager from wherever you're standing, and you got to challenge it right now or not. I would do that immediately. I wouldn't do the go to the replay booth and then ask them, and then they're looking for an angle, and then we got to hold on, and now we say, no, we're going to keep going. I'm not doing that. I want to limit the use of it. Where I would go, hey, you blew this one. You Don Deckagered this one. Quick challenge. Let's fix it. Something that's obvious. That's where it should be to me. But the governors of this game, the guys that kind of keep the whole thing within the guardrails, have not changed or been updated until, again, recently. And they're outdated. Umpires getting 93% of the calls right behind home plate is actually something that's pretty good. But imagine 7% of pitches being called wrong over the course of a game. To devastating effect. Strike three is ball four. Ball four is strike three. Huge moments are influenced by this. For hitters, it's too damned hard to make them have to hit balls. It was hard enough in the 90s when Greg Maddux got a foot and a half and Tom Glavine got, you know, a yard off the plate in the opposite batter's box to hit. They only make bats so long. But now that the stuff is as nasty as it is, I think the robot ump is inevitable. So I'm asking you, 800-636-1067, in or out on the robot ump. There's this darling little phrase that everyone likes to use called the human element, which just means wrong. Are you in or out? I think this first step here is just that. It's a gateway drug to a full-fledged robotic strike zone. Are you in or are you out? Your call is next on The Fan. Overall, pretty successful round of Does Ryan Know It? I will tell you, really impressed. The first two callers won the prize. Like, and it wasn't just yes, he knew both, or yes, he knew one, didn't know the other. Like, they figured it out real quick and got it. Pretty impressive. I thought we had a couple good 50-50 type questions where people wouldn't be sure. Nope. Everybody got everything. Want to get to this story right quick. And maybe even take some phone calls on this, because I know we have one person in-house here who is just totally against this. Rob Manfred basically floating the trial balloon here, saying that they're going to try out not just the challenge system that's kind of going through the minor leagues, where we keep the pace of play going, we keep the game going, borderline pitch below the zone, hitter taps his helmet, they look at it, either, you know, it's a strike or he's out and there's a consequence, etc. Instead of just that system, this is a full-fledged, this is a tweet from MLB on Fox. Major League Baseball will test robot umpires as part of challenge system in spring training next year, which could lead to regular season use in 2026, Rob Manfred has said. So, the way I read that is the robot umps are only challenge system at this point? Is that how you guys are viewing that, by the way? That it's only for the they're there as a safe check. We're not going to call, you know, the borderline pitch that's, you know, where the catcher frames it up that maybe a millimeter between ball and actual strike zone. That one's going to live and be fine unless someone challenges it directly. So it's not an automatic thing. It's only with the challenge system.
That's the way that I'm reading it, yeah.
Okay. Wanted to make sure that I had that right. So, I think, and you could tell me I'm full of it, I don't think this is where it stops. I think that next step is that ABS, whatever the acronym stands for, is going to fully take over home plate calls, strike calls. I started the show today talking about the All-Star game. Hours ago, you missed any of it, get the old Odyssey app, rewind function, the whole nine yards, get the podcast, anywhere you happen to be. Emmanuel Clase throws cutters that move like sliders over 100 miles an hour. When this game was invented, 40-some years ago, nobody envisioned this. Nobody saw this coming. How could they have? How could anybody in the late 1800s, where the life expectancy is like 38 years old, and you saw a steam engine for the first time and fainted, how could anybody then be like, yeah, man, 137 years from now, they're going to have a guy that throws 102 miles an hour and it moves left to right and down? Like a slider. What's a slider? And don't worry about that. That'll buckle your knees too when you try to hit. Nobody could have predicted it. So the antiquated governors for the sport have never really been updated until recently, where you have some of the replay. And I would tweak the replay system tomorrow. One of the things that I would do, for example, there's no get on the phone. There's no hold my hand up. There's no 30 seconds where we're all just sitting there doing nothing. You got to look at the play as the manager from wherever you're standing, and you got to challenge it right now or not. I would do that immediately. I wouldn't do the go to the replay booth and then ask them, and then they're looking for an angle, and then we got to hold on, and now we say, no, we're going to keep going. I'm not doing that. I want to limit the use of it. Where I would go, hey, you blew this one. You Don Deckagered this one. Quick challenge. Let's fix it. Something that's obvious. That's where it should be to me. But the governors of this game, the guys that kind of keep the whole thing within the guardrails, have not changed or been updated until again recently, and they're outdated. Umpires getting 93% of the calls right behind home plate is actually something that's pretty good. But imagine 7% of pitches being called wrong over the course of a game. To devastating effect. Strike three is ball four. Ball four, strike three. Huge moments are influenced by this. For hitters, it's too damned hard to make them have to hit balls. It was hard enough in the 90s when Greg Maddux got a foot and a half and Tom Glavine got, you know, a yard off the plate in the opposite batter's box to hit. They only make bats so long. But now that the stuff is as nasty as it is, I think the robot ump is inevitable. So I'm asking you, 800-636-1067, in or out on the robot ump. There's this darling little phrase that everyone likes to use called the human element, which just means wrong. Are you in or out? I think this first step here is just that. It's a gateway drug to a full-fledged robotic strike zone. Are you in or are you out? Your call is next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.